I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, this is the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. And it's Matt solo for this week and this review show. Before we get into the nitty gritty, I'd like to tell you, just to hold on to the end of the show, we have an amazing interview with Hannah Wilkes, who hosts the Her Huddle podcast and also is the co-host of NFL Overtime. So after we review this, I will be speaking to Hannah, and believe me, it is a great video, a great interview, something that definitely was worth tuning in. As you noticed, it's just me, Matt, today. Alex is still feeling the effects from Friday. It's the reason why we cancelled the show. So you get me. And wow, what can I say? Are we back? Is this offense back? Is this team the team now to beat going forward? Me? Yeah, it can be. And with the results last of this year, including the Chiefs losing 2 on the bounce, the Bucs losing last night to the Rams, with this defense and the way they're playing, with this offense gradually getting back to 2020, can we go on a run? Can we take it to Kansas, who we play in a couple of weeks' time, and take it to the Bucs in December? Can we go out there and show the NFL and all the doubters, all the haters, that the Bills this year will be in the Super Bowl and going for that Super Bowl championship? Me personally, I think it could happen. I think we can give the Chiefs and the Bucks a good run for money, and seeing what has happened, what the Chargers managed to do, what the Ravens managed to do, what the Bucks managed to do to the Chiefs last year in the Super Bowl. There is no blueprint there. And I'm going to put this out on Twitter at the end of the show. I want your answer. Can we, if we carry on like we were today against Washington, and how this defense has stacked up these last three years? Yes, we have faced the Dolphins, Steelers, and obviously a football team, all guys with middle of the run, lower offenses. Could that be the confidence needed to actually take on the Chiefs, to take on the Titans, to take on the Bucks, get that number one seed, home field advantage all the way through, and Super Bowl bound in February? I'll leave that decision on to you. But let's do this. Let's get in to the nitty gritty, and where to start? One place, Josh Allen. He's back. Was it a case he was playing chicken with us, playing us all, giving us a little joke, saying what he was to what he is now? This game shows us what Allen and this offense is capable of. This was probably one of the most near enough perfect games that we've had on offense in a while. I mean, Allen went 32 for 43 yards, 358 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, quarterback rating of 138.7, completion percentage of 74.4, higher than his completion percentage all last year. Yes, the last two games, he should have been matching that. But what we saw now, maybe it was a case that they were looking at how this Washington defense is. Their defensive line had Montez Sweat, first-round pick. Chase Young, first-round pick, defensive rookie of the year. Jaron Allen and Daron Payne, I believe that's... And obviously they had Matt Ioannidis, who wasn't available. But there's 4 guys on that defensive line that were first-round picks. And we carved them up. I mean, when he's thrown over 300 yards, Josh Allen is 9-0. He's the fourth player in NFL history with multiple career games of over 300 yards, four passing touchdowns, and a rush touchdown. He has got four of those. He joins Drew Brees on four, Aaron Rodgers on three, and Peyton Manning on two. Tell me that this is not a quarterback that is actually going up and up and up. And maybe the issues he had in week one and week two with maybe his reads, maybe with his footwork and his release were just flash in the pans. Just something that his first 2 weeks, he's still shaking off a bit of preseason rust. Now you're in the third week and onwards, we see that Josh Allen that came second in the MVP, that threw for a franchise record last year. And speaking of franchise records, he's now beaten Jim Kelly. Five career games with four touchdowns and 300 yards. Fifth game, broke the tie with Jim Kelly. This is a guy where the ceiling is still growing and growing. The sky is the limit, if you will. And what more can you say? The short passing game worked. He managed to build that relationship with Emmanuel Saunders. I think this was probably one of the more complete games, and the ball called a perfect offense. Used the quick games, teased in the long ball, had a few screen plays, sweeps, and all that, getting players involved. And seriously, this looked like a 2020 offense. And what makes it even better is this offensive line. You returned the five guys. Okay, Kobe Ford come back from injury last year. But the five guys are the same five guys that started the first few games last year. And with this Washington defense, they only allowed six hits on Allen, did not allow one sack, didn't give away any penalties. If not, I can't remember they gave away a penalty on that offensive line. And Josh had time in that pocket. I think now the Bills are hitting their stride. And I think this offensive line, these five, are your starters. You want to keep them there. I think what we see next week against the Texans, who knows? Texans are a team where everyone thought there'd be a walkover, but they've quietly been having a decent season. But with this offensive line, with Allen, being and the 2020 offense being back, you've got to feel good. Bills Mafia, we have to feel good about this season. Yes, I think it's the third or fourth easiest schedule this year. You can only beat the guys that are in front of you. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we can do. We build it up. We knock them dead. And another thing, what I like about this offense and this offensive line is that we're getting the run game back. I mean, that's something that we needed to elevate this offense. Last year, we were struggling with the run. But the last two games, we pretty much 100 rushing yards per Singletary, Moss, Allen, all combined. When you've got stuff like that, you've got an offensive line that loves to hit people. What's not to love? On there, you've got a team that has strength and depth. I mean, what was it? 122 rushing yards. Okay, it doesn't seem a lot, but split between 60 for Zach Moss, 26 for Devin Singletary. You're looking at a balanced offense. We're starting to get that run game. There are little sprinkles. Okay, the longest runs for both those guys were 9 and 7. But Zach Moss, 13 for 60, 4.6 average yards per carry. that makes a great difference. Spelling with Singletary, okay, he had 11 attempts, 26 yards, 2.4. But when you've got this sort of game where you need your running backs in there, it opens up a lot. It confuses the hell out of this defense. And I think looking at it, that last year, the what is crucial is that the early down play actions, it was a staple of our offense last year. 7.9 yards per play. We didn't show it against the Steelers. Had some success against the Dolphins. And we've actually used it 44% of the time on first and second downs. When we got back to that 1-1 formation, 1-1 personnel, 3 wide receivers, 1 running back, 1 tight end. That is our identity. We can mix the run. We can mix the play action. We can get those short games in. This O-line is happy. The fans are happy. The team is happy with the way we're progressing. And we get back to our ways. We get back to what we do and what we do best. Winning games and switching sides. Let's move on to this defense. This Washington football team, they've got a decentish sort of offense. I mean, you had Fitzpatrick when he was there. Tyler Henneke is a decent quarterback. I wouldn't call him a world beater, but he knew how to evade pressure. And you have Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas. Okay, they're missing Curtis Samuel in there. But this is an offense not really to actually underestimate. And they could get somewhere. And the fact that they held Washington and Heineke to 14 or 24 attempts, 212 yards. Okay, it was inflated because of a 73-yard catch and run by Antonio Gibson. So scrub that off, and you're looking at under 150 yards. He went 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completion percentage of 58.3. And Trey White and this defense held McLaurin, who's been likened to one of the best receivers in the league, only held him to 62 yards on 4 attempts, with his longest yard being 37. So half those yards in one play. This is what we like to see. 290 total yards altogether Washington put up. Star Luke Staley, don't tell me that this defense hasn't got better and it's because of Star. He missed last year. We were a bit shocking until week 11 onwards. He's come back, and you've already seen this rush offense or rush defense has gone up and up and up. And the work the Star's done off season, he's got another sack. That's what, 2 in 2 years for him. For a defensive nose tackle who's really only there to stop the run, he jumps up with a sack. And then you've got, obviously, Epinesa, Russo on the edge, Edison, Hughes on the edge. Yes, none of them got the sacks. Only Star got the only sack. But pressure. We said in the last show, you don't just measure defensive ends on sack production. You do it on pressure. The way they managed to close that pocket, the way they managed to hold it up and allow this offense, this defensive secondary, and Milano and Edmonds, who both had lights out games, a good run. This is what makes this defense good. We had doubts on Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson, both started, but we neutralized the threat. I say only Antonio Gibson was only the real attack, and that was one reception. Terry McLaurin actually covered by Trey White, didn't really get into the game. And really, only Logan Thomas was the only other guy that had over 20 yards in a game. This is elite. this is a defense that's just going from strength to strength. And again, I say it is, and people will probably curse me, and I'm going to put a tin hat on for the comments on this, but it's star Lutaleli that is the main reason for this. Wow. If we can hold teams to that record and to that amount of offense in a year, in a game, then really you're looking at this and you're looking at, wow, what can this team do? This team could be up there. This team is close to being elite, and we rave about it every single week. I mean, after the three games, we're fifth overall in total defense. In passing defense, we're fifth, only allowing, where is it? It's right here. We're allowing 178 yards per game. Rush defense, we're seventh, allowing 74.7 yards per game. Pretty much, this defense is suffocating an offense, which helps us because it gives us more of the ball, more of the time to build that lead, force the opposition to abandon game plans and start throwing. And when they throw, you're getting the pressure. They're going to have to hold on to it. You've got the coverage, a cornerback and safety, including, as everyone sleeps on them, they're not Bills Mafia, Hoyt and Hire. Hoyer and Hire. Hyde, sorry. I can't believe I said that. But you've got two most underrated safeties, both coming up with plays in that game. They're both, Jordan Poyer had an interception. I think Micah Hyde had an interception. Our safeties got the interception on there. Tre'Davious White, the forced fumble. This defense were all over the place. And this is the exciting part about it. We move on next week. We have Houston. We'll be doing a review show on, hopefully on Thursday. On Thursday. We'll preview this game. And I, for one, am looking forward to it. We go into that. If we go 3-1 into the Chiefs and Titans games, and the Chiefs have a bounce back or a mellow game in week 4, the confidence is going to be sky high there. And I think that is the key. We play how we play today against Houston next week, and you just see that play. You see that spirit, that team spirit, and the continuity and the explosiveness take on the Chiefs and the Bucks and the Titans and Super Bowl. Here we come. So that's the review done. And now I'd like to bring you the interview we did. She is the host of the NFL UK podcast, Her Huddle. She is the co-host of NFL Overtime. You may have seen it Thursdays on Sky Sports. Welcome to the show, Hannah Wilkes. So enjoy. And I'm joined on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues by Hannah Wilkes. She is one of the hosts of the Her Huddle podcast, an NFL UK podcast, and also co-host of NFL Overtime on Sky Sports. Hannah, thank you for coming on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues and joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here and talk Bills Mafia.
Yes, love it. First of all, I just want to just get into your background. I mean, how long have you been into the NFL? And obviously, big question is, do you support a team? And if so, who?
Well, I support the Rams, getting that in there straight away. I do like the Bills, though. Especially the last couple of years, and particularly last year, I think everyone fell a little bit in love with the Bills and Josh Allen. So, yeah, if I have to pick an AFC team, the Bills are very much my team. But no, I'm a Rams fan. My journey to the NFL is quite like anyone in this country. Very few people grow up watching the sport because of the time of day it's on, unless you've got very chilled out parents. So actually it's coming up to about 10 years next month that I actually first fully understood and fell in love with the game. And it was a Wembley game. I was working as a runner for Sky, and they actually loaned me to Fox for the day. You were the host broadcaster, and it was the Bucks against the Bears at Wembley. And I was watching it on the gantry, and I'd worked on studio coverage of the NFL before back at Sky. And not going to lie, it was always a bit of a struggle because the hours were through the night and I didn't know what was going on. And you're just trying to look after everyone and stay awake. So kind of washed over me. Anyway, I stood there on the gantry watching this game unfold. And I'm like, there are people hitting each other hard and people running everywhere. And then the ball flies out and I don't really know what's going on, but I think I like it. Because I grew up watching rugby. So there's that physicality and that competitiveness that and that violence that very few sports have. So I got a bit of an introduction from the guys who worked on Fox. They were really like helpful. They're like, what do you know? And I was like, nothing. So they kind of taught me basics. And it's grown from there. And in the last sort of 5 years, I suppose, really, it's 5-6 years maybe, is when I've got more and more into it and was watching it more regularly. And yeah, now my life revolves around it, so it's all gone quite well.
It's been a meteoric rise, I'm assuming, then. So from being the runner to hosting your own podcast and obviously the NFL Overtime show.
Well, see what they say, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. So yeah, I started running at Sky 10 years ago. And when you're a runner, you're at the photocopier, you're making tea, you're walking guests from A to B, you're getting everyone anything they need and everything they need and doing anything with a smile on your face. So I've had loads of roles behind the camera, really like done pretty much all the things you can do in a production team. And then the opportunity sort of started coming on air, and not just in the NFL. I sort of started off with, we had a kids show that I used to work on, some very sort of niche sports I've covered along the way to like get that experience really. It's quite funny. We talk to people and they're like, oh wow, you've just like come out of nowhere. I'm like, no, this has been hard work. I've loved every second of it, but I'm very keen to point that out because it's the same for everyone you see doing this stuff on TV. You will never believe what they've done to get there and how hard they have worked.
I mean, it's pioneering stuff. I mean, you obviously, with your hurdle, I think your first episode, you had Kay Adams.
Yes.
And that, I listened to that episode. I love that episode on there. I think obviously Kay's good herself, and obviously Good Morning Football as well. And it's just, I won't say breath of fresh air as such, but it's nice to see that more and more, there's more opportunity now for women to actually start getting into it a little bit more. And obviously with your host, the podcast and all that, you're really paving that way for girls to and women to get into the game. It's like for female coaches like Bills, PB Shetler.
You just name checked two of my favorite women in the NFL. and it's interesting, isn't it, because there have, you know, in the US in particular, there have been women on the sidelines for a long time, and there've been, you know, women starting to make the moves in, and now they're commentating on games on ESPN and all the rest of it. It was really interesting talking to Kay, actually, because I've known Kay for about a year now, actually. We spoke to her every week last year on Overtime, and we had really good chats before, you know, we went into record. And I think from a UK perspective, it's interesting because she popped up on our screens on the NFL channel on Sky Sports a year ago. And she's obviously brilliant at what she does, but I had no idea the stuff she'd done to get there. And we were comparing notes, and she was doing 1 minute news bulletins in a cupboard in the middle of the night and then working at bars and doing this. And it's like, you know, that's what you have to do. That's the nature of this industry. And when people pop up, you think, oh wow, they just click their fingers. But no, everyone's grafted. And it is great seeing, you know, this year there's 12 women in coaching positions in the NFL. And it's not just though those coaching positions. So Phoebe, obviously at the Bills, she did amazingly there. She's now coaching in Germany and got her, you know, helped get her team to the semi-finals this year. And she's such an inspiration. But now we're seeing women everywhere in the NFL. You know, they're in coaching rooms, they're in team offices, they're in league offices, they're refereeing games, they're talking about them on TV. And at lower levels, women are even playing the game too, along with the boys. So yeah, it's great to see. And I think we're always going to feel a little bit behind where the US are over here because the game's younger, relatively speaking, over here.
A bit more involved when coming in.
But I mean, with Her Huddle, you look at who I'm doing that with, you've got some brilliant women in the UK who are just passionate NFL fans, and they're just carving out paths for themselves with podcasts like Liz Bandiri, NFL with Nia, Ash in the NFL, countless others that are passionate about it. And I think what's really lovely is that there seems to be real support across the board. Like, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you like the NFL, you are welcome within the UK community.
No, that's good. I say it's just good to see that, obviously, especially with lockdown, all that, podcasts actually coming on thick and fast and different ones coming through. And it is, as you say, it is a great platform, just not just to get out there and actually give your own views, but obviously the route you've come up, Kay's come up through and all that. So that is a pretty much a very strong and very good message to put out there, that anything can happen. As you say, 10 years, takes 10 years, takes 2 years, takes 20 years.
It's exhausting, but it's worth it.
Worth it, exactly. So, you said last year that obviously last year, 2020, was probably the year that you really started liking the Bills, obviously saying it's your AFC team. How do you feel that season went for them? What did you really like about it? Was there anything, or was it just the way that we actually put up so much on offense and struggled?
Well, I mean, when you get to the conference championship game, it's been a successful season by any franchise's metric. And the Bills are an interesting one because I think for UK fans and all of us at Sky Sports, we always in our hearts are rooting for the Bills a little bit because they were Kev Cadle's team. So everyone's just always like, want good things for them. Because
Even Neil, I know recently he started to favor a bit, but I feel a few years back, he's probably a bit more hatred, a little bit, being a Dolphins fan.
I wouldn't call it hate, but there's definitely, everyone's got that little bit in their soul that's like, we want good things for the Bill because they were important to Kevin. And then last year, I mean, we saw whispers of it in 2019, right? We saw Josh Allen and, you know, he was doing okay, but there was a lot missing. And then last year, you bring him in Stephon Diggs and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is what this can happen here. And just the uptick in Josh Allen, I mean, I don't need to say it, it's been said and written about Allen Phantom, of just how impressive the uptick in his ability has been since he's been in the league. You look at how he was being assessed coming out of college and you look at the level he's playing at now, and coming into this season, he's like one of those guys who like put a five on him for MVP, might not be wasted money. And I think just last year, it was just entertaining. It was entertaining. The defense maybe wasn't as good as it could have been, or was maybe the year before. And I think in 2019, I get years confused because like 2020 didn't happen because of everything. In 2019, you know, the defense was going to keep the Bills in games, and then Josh Allen was going to do some good stuff, but it wouldn't always come off and he wouldn't always have a receiver open. And then last year, like, oh, Josh Allen's going to keep the Bills in games, and you just wanted the defense just to be that bit better. But hey, got the conference championship, so it's not a bad season at all. But it was just the entertainment value and just watching what Josh Allen could do. It's like all these sort of young quarterbacks in the league, like Lamar Jackson, you're like, what's he going to do next? Patrick Mahomes, where's he going to go? And there's new guys coming through now as well. I think you're starting to get that a bit with Justin Herbert after the performances yesterday. It's just entertaining to watch. And seeing the way their defense looks to have improved. So far this season through three games, although I don't know how much we can really tell about the Bills after the three games they've had. I think you can't like grind it out, lost against the Steelers, which felt kind of like both teams are maybe still stuck in preseason. 35-0 against the Dolphins, which is a great day for the offense and great day for the defense, but was the opponent really there? And then this week against Washington, who last year, if you've got the score you got against Washington, like, that's a good performance, but their defense has dropped significantly from where they were last year. So we get it, and they're without their starting quarterback as well. So I don't feel like we fully know what this team is capable of yet, which is both exciting and not worrying. It's only 3 minutes, but it's exciting. But also, you have to just tread like that little bit cautiously. Like, as a Rams fan, I was like, nothing matters the first 2 weeks. It's this Bucks game last night, and I'm in a great mood this Monday morning.
Exactly. We're all in a good mood. As long as anytime Brady loses and all that, Bills fans are happy.
I will say with Brady, and I know Bills fans feel differently, but I will say, and I've talked about this with one of our producers in overtime last week, I was like, do you feel like you like Tom Brady more since he left New England? I was like, because I do. And I think as well, one thing we've all realised is that we're not going to see someone do what he's doing and build a career that he's built and the records he's set and everything else. We're not going to see it again. So I think now that we know what he's 44, he's talking about 50. So now that we know it's into the last 6 years max of his career, I think we've all got that little bit more appreciation. But I'm not going to lie, I didn't not enjoy seeing him look frustrated at SoFi last night.
Good. I mean, you're right with the first three games, I say, Dolphins, pretty much since Sean McDermott and Josh Allen being in the league, we've just pretty much handed themselves to us on a plate, really.
I mean, you're quite lucky when you look at some of the teams you get to play twice a year.
Yes, exactly. But that's all good. That helps us a lot more. But I'm thinking you're like me. You're thinking the Chiefs, the Bucks, and possibly the Titans would be the games really that really could define this Bills team this year.
Yeah, I think they're the tests for you guys for sure. And I think the Chiefs, now you've got, I can't remember off the top of my head who they play week four this week, but you play the Monday nights, so that's a big game, week five. And after their loss to the Chargers, they're going to be hurting. And they've lost two in a row for the first time since I had this written down earlier. Hold on, because I was amazed. I can't find it now, but first time in a long time that they've lost two. Yeah. Oh, they lost two in a row, maybe last year or 2019, but still, it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
So you're kind of getting them at a slightly more dangerous time, I would say. But yeah, you look at who the Bills get this year. Texans next week. Mm-hmm. Although you can't sleep on them entirely because they've put some good performances together actually through 3 weeks. Colts and Saints later on, both of those teams. I don't think we really know exactly where they are yet. The Saints, I think they might swing one way than the other all season with Winston under center. You've got the Bucks in December. That's big. But, I mean, ultimately, the schedule's quite kind to the Bills overall, I think, this year.
I think it's like one of the third or fourth easiest schedule for the NFL, for the Bills. So we'll take it after all the hard ones we've had previously. So... So based on what you saw last season and obviously what you've seen with this defense, the way that Josh Allen's now come back out in the game against Washington and this offense, how do you see the Bills go this season? Like, if you want to put a record prediction on there, could you see a Super Bowl? Could you see Josh Allen with his rise actually being a perennial MVP candidate?
Well, that's a couple of big questions. I'll start with Josh Allen. I think there was always the fear after the big year he had last year that it would probably drop off a little bit because that's just what things have to happen. So far, that's actually not looking like the case. So that's good. I can totally see him being up there. If they keep putting a good offense around him, good offensive line around him, you know, he could buy time, but still you need a good team around you, but can see no reason why he shouldn't be up there. He's definitely sort of, you think of the top quarterbacks in the league, he's definitely one of the first few names that I'll rattle off, if I'm honest. This season for the Bills, I find the AFC as a whole really quite fascinating at the moment, because before a football was thrown, you'd have said the AFC is the more sort of dangerous, exciting, stacked pool, whereas in the NFC, people were like, well, the Bucks definitely will find out about the Rams, Packers will be there, we don't know what's happening with the Saints. You know what I mean? It looked like the AFC was where the battle was really going to be, but actually, you think the Chiefs are currently bottom of the AFC West.
Yeah.
The Broncos and the Raiders are the only two teams in the whole conference that are unbeaten. You're like, oh, someone's really flipped a script on this one. I think the Bills are going to be a playoff team for the next few years, barring any major injuries to Josh Allen or Diggs or, you know, key players. Conference championship last year, you've got to go one better, right? You've always got to be looking at that. And I think what we have seen this year, for so long it's been, and you know, when the Ravens played the Chiefs last week, it was, if the Ravens are a serious team, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, at some point you've got to beat the Chiefs. Well, the Ravens have proved it can be done, and the Chargers proved it can be done. So we know they are fallible now, which they haven't looked much over the last few years. So yeah, I mean, look, all eyes on that Monday night game in a couple of weeks' time, because that will be a real tell of where this Bills team are. But you've got to be in a conference game. And yeah, I don't think you can ever really see past that, because once you get to divisional round and conference championship game, literally anything can happen. So predicting Super Bowls is a risky business. But at the moment, and I might be getting way ahead of myself, I am one to overreact, that I'm like, is this the year the Chiefs come undone a little bit? I'm thinking, for me, the Ravens and the Bills are the teams to be there in January from the AFC. I mean, look, like I say, Broncos and Raiders, I am here for them being great football teams.
Yeah.
But it's still so early that you think, when might the wheels come off?
Exactly. And you've got the Browns as well that are coming up.
Well, the Browns. I didn't even think about the Browns. But still, I am one of those Baker Mayfield naysayers for my sin. But I'm just like, I'm just not convinced. No. I mean, I'm always open to have my mind changed. That moment, I'm just not. There's always so much hype around them. I think it's like a reaction that I'm like, nah.
Yeah. No, I know. I saw the predictions beginning of the season. Neil Reynolds, obviously, has backed Bills to win the Super Bowl. Josh Allen to be MVP and all that. So I'm just liking all the buzz that's getting on there. I think some of the guests that you've had on previously, or especially on the main shows on Sunday, have got a few nice things to say about the Bills. So
I can't decide if it's my dream or nightmare scenario, actually, is a Bills Rams Super Bowl in February.
I think it'd be kind of a dream. My dream one would be Bills Bucks and actually us smashing Bucks and actually knocking Brady out the game.
You don't want Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, because once you get Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, everything else goes out the window. This is some special juju. You don't want that.
No. But no, it's good to see that. And I think, as you said, the AFC was obviously determined to be one of the strongest conferences out of both of them on there. But as we've seen this year and this season, anything can happen with results wise.
And that's why we love it.
Exactly.
That's why we love this sport. It's like, you know, I think we've had, I mean, was what, one game left to play? I think 12 of the 15 games. About 12 games this week alone have been one-score games in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, where else you get that? Aaron Rodgers posted on Instagram last night, this morning, depending on where in the world you are, like, how can you not be romantic about this game when they win against the 49ers with a field goal, like, as time, like, finishes? Like, how can you not love this game? There's so much drama.
No, exactly. And I think just all the plays, and not just the Bills make, but obviously you've got Mahomes and what he can do. You never rule out guys like him or anything like that to actually pull off a game, which will make, probably in my opinion, this season, probably one of the most exciting ones that we will actually see in quite some time. Because obviously
I think the thing to remember is last year was such an anomaly of a season because there were no fans. There was none of the normal stuff around football. And I think because, you know, we still saw every game that was scheduled, not necessarily in its right slot and not necessarily when planned, we almost forget how weird it was and how strange these teams were having to operate to make it happen. Whereas this year, you've had a proper training camp. Guys can hang out with each other away from football. Like, I was talking to some players pre-season, and quite a few guys kind of said that's the real, that they can actually hang out with each other away from football now, and they couldn't last year, so they can watch a movie, they can watch a fight, they can do whatever, and it's that time that really bonds a team together, especially if you're up in Green Bay, for example. Adrian Amos was like, there's nothing to do in Green Bay apart from football. So last year was really hard because you couldn't have any, no one knows anyone. They haven't got family there. It's not where these guys are from. So being able to actually hang out together and have that, it does pay off on the field as well, and having fans back as well. So I think this season is definitely more exciting in a lot of ways, although last season was thrilling and every week we're like, what just happened? But yeah, I think it's going to be a vintage year. We've got some great rookie players from last year who are really finding their feet in 2021, that's for sure.
No, that's good. I mean, Hannah, thank you very, very much for coming on the show, spend some time out to actually come chat. Your rise in the game, the producing, and obviously talking Bills and NFL with me. Where can Bills Mafia find you to follow you and all the work that you've got upcoming?
I am at Hannah J. Wilkes on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm shameless in posting what I'm up to on there. So.
Yeah, definitely check out the NFL Overtime. You do fantasy section on there as well, don't you?
Yes, we are very big on fantasy at the moment on Overtime, which I was loving week one and two, but I'm not looking forward to this week. But yeah, obviously, gotta say as well, we'll be remiss if I didn't. Overtime, Sky Sports NFL, every Thursday, 9 o'clock. And Her Huddle on NFL UK's Instagram is live on Tuesday evenings. And then you can see it on the NFL UK YouTube channel if you missed the live, usually from like Thursday or Friday.
Awesome. So Hannah, thank you very, very much for coming on the show for me.
Thanks for having me.
That was Hannah. Thank you very much, Hannah, for coming on the show. Such inspiration with the work she's done and how she's risen from a runner to hosting NFL. She's a Rams fan. I will let her have that. She likes the Bills Mafia now. We could probably make her an honorary one, maybe. But it was great to have her perspective on the Bills last season, and obviously hearing her journey from being a runner to working her way up. And actually managed to rub shoulders with the big guns, being a pioneer for women in hosting and presenters. And I would definitely recommend watching the NFL Overtime show, and also watching or listening to Her Huddle. Both brilliant shows that she actually she hosts. So that is all the time we have. Keep following us at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook, on YouTube, at UK_Bills on Instagram. Please share, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button. Spread the word of the Bills Mafia here in the UK. We're growing. Also, remember, every Sunday, head down to Fitzrover Bell in London and watch the Bills with other Bills fans. The Fitzrover Bell, they have an area reserved for us, and they are our official home to watch all Bills games at 6 p.m. or 9 p.m., whether they're on Sky or Game Pass. So check it out. And remember, keep the 7th of November in the diary. Book it. Book the next day off if you have to, because it's our watch party for the Jaguars game. So come down, meet me, meet Alex, meet Charlie and Tim from the Buffalo From Afar podcast. Obviously, check them out as well. And for Matt, I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Continue subscribing. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.